Welcome to the Inside Slant Podcast, brought to you by JayhawkSlant.com.
Jay, that makes 14 straight Big 12 conference titles for Bill Self. Just how big is this?
Well, for starters, it has never been done in the history of college basketball.
Bringing you all of the KU Jayhawk scoop, straight from the players, coaches, and recruits.
JK, I understand you've got some breaking news for us?
I do. I've just learned that Les Miles and his staff have landed another big recruit.
For all of the latest news, analysis, and discussion, go online to JayhawkSlant.com. Now, here's the staff from Jayhawk Slant.
Hey, everybody, this is Randy Withers with another edition of the Inside Slant Podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. It's just before kickoff of the Chiefs game, but with everything going on in Jayhawk Nation right now, we just knew we had to fire up the mics on a Sunday evening and get you guys up to speed on everything that's happening. We're going to cover late night, all the talk about the Snoop Dogg concert, and things were supposed to be slow for the next week or so with Les Miles and the football program heading into their bye week, but just announced this afternoon a major change on the coaching staff at the offensive coordinator position. First off, I'm going to start off by bringing in my man Shea Wildebor, who he and I were there courtside for late night in the fog Friday night. Shea, how you doing this evening?
I'm doing well, man. Snoop-a-loop, baby. I'm still reminiscing about that Friday night concert, man, but I'm doing good. I'm hoping these Denver Broncos can hold off the Chargers and we can roll into another Sunday night game, baby.
You know, you and I sat right there, we're together. The whole performance, and it was, you know, I know what I thought about it. As somebody that covers basketball recruiting and has been around this program for years and talks to all these players and really knows the ins and outs of what goes into bringing talent in and to an elite caliber basketball program, I mean, what do you make of all the furor that this has touched off over the last 48 hours?
I grew up on this stuff in 1993. I mean, I was there. I was there when it was released. It's Snoop Dogg. I mean, and people have gone, oh, they brought strippers. They were dancers. Okay, they were dancers. There was no stripping. It's Snoop. Anybody that expected anything otherwise, I mean, I don't know what to say. I thought the university did a great job of making him perform last. You know, we all had a choice. And I just, you know what, I don't know. I enjoyed it. I did. And if I had to do it all over again, I would do it. I thought it was a great show. It was something certainly that I'll never forget. You know, I mean, obviously people are upset. I understand it. Maybe some people weren't expecting the language or some of the things we saw. But again, I mean, listen, if someone tells me that Snoop's having a concert, in my mind, I know what to expect. Now, the girls, yeah, I didn't expect to see that. I didn't expect to see the polls. But, I mean, the language and, like, the little dog he had walking around with him with the thing and the money gun, I mean, that's just – that's Snoop's personality. So – I loved it. If I get an opportunity to see it again, I would love to. But I just, you know, I think sometimes people, they make too much out of something. You know, anybody that knew that Snoop was coming probably had an idea of what to think. So I don't know why everybody's up in arms about it. I mean, it was a memorable outing, I'll say that. Just because it took me back in time to a time in my, not childhood, but when I was growing up to where life was great. I mean, you know, I was a sophomore, junior in high school, living at home, no job, not paying any bills. I mean, it just, you know, my dad had a brand new drop top black Mustang, and the guys and I would roll out, have the five, you know, stick shift, top down, and just playing all Snoop songs. So for me, it was more of just reminiscing about the old days where, you know, life was simple. And so, you know, I thought it was great. I had a really good time.
I want to go ahead and bring in our man on the football side of things, John Kirby. John, you know, so much for a quiet Sunday at home, huh?
You know, Randy,
after doing this for 20 years, you kind of just get used to it. You know, you gotta figure out when the news is going to come, and you got to stop what you're doing and cover it. And I appreciate you guys and all of us. We all kind of shifted gears tonight with the Chiefs game on and pulled the mics out and got the podcast going. So, you know, hey, listen, I know you guys were just talking about late night, but I mean, Randy, I know you're a Snoop Dogg fan, and hey, yeah. Listen, that's kind of my era too, you know, when I was growing up. So what was your guys' take on the girls? I mean, I saw some pictures. I wasn't there. You two guys were. To me, they didn't look dressed any different than the Rock Chalk dancers or what cheerleaders would wear in a skit.
I think that's a really good point, John. One of the things that Shay and I noticed, because the girls, when they were waiting to come out and the basketball, the scrimmage was actually kind of finishing up, they were right at the edge of the tunnel by where our seats were. And it was funny because Shay looked over and he was the first one to say, well, look, they are wearing all Adidas gear. And they were. I thought that was really kind of funny. But you have that's a great point, John. I mean, they were not scantily clad women. They were not wearing pasties, you know. They were out there in the same kind of apparel that we saw the Rock Chalk dancers in earlier in the evening, that we see the cheerleaders out there in. It wasn't as if they were showing skin. You know, there was not. And I know it's different for me because I'm not a parent. So I'm going to kind of turn this to you guys, because I know you both have children. You both have boys. For me, I think it's much ado about nothing. I think that there's even maybe some faux disappointment coming from the KU athletic department and the administration and Bill Self, because they feel like maybe they have to say that. What do you guys think? I mean, you've seen the video. You guys saw the clips that I put out. Obviously, Shay was right there with me. I mean, did either of you see anything that would have made you clutch your pearls and cover your kids' eyes as you ran for the exits?
For me, no. You know, I'll say this. Growing up, my parents, like in 93, when that CD was debuted, my parents allowed me the opportunity to listen to that music simply because they know I never repeated it in school or anything. It wasn't anything like that. And I've done the same with Kemper. So no, there was nothing that he hasn't seen or that he wouldn't have seen at Late Night in the Fog on Friday. Now, let me say this. I can understand where maybe some of the older generation would have been offended. I understand that. You go there, you think you're going to get skits, you think you're going to get basketball, you think you're going to get dancing and all that other stuff, and all of a sudden you see women in high heels walking out to polls, and you're probably not expecting that. You know, people's like, a lot of the things I read were, how could this happen at Allen Fieldhouse? Snoop had a money gun. There was no strippers. There were women that were wearing stuff that we see every day. I mean, I've seen girls at school wear that stuff. My son is in seventh grade, and I've seen young ladies show up to school wearing Daisy Duke shorts like that. So there's nothing that Kemper would have seen there that he hasn't already seen. Nothing. And that's just me. That's not me speaking for any parents or anything else. But I know I would have been perfectly fine with my 13-year-old son sitting courtside with me had he had the opportunity to go. And that's just me.
Well, my boys,
John, what about you?
Yeah, Randy, my boys are, you know, I've got a junior in high school. I've got a freshman in high school. So, I mean, so from my end, they've seen that deal. You get it? I mean, these kids are on the internet, and although we try to police them and kind of watch what they're doing, we stay pretty good on top of them. But these guys, the kids now, they have access to a lot more stuff, a lot more than what we did now. So, you know, they've seen probably a lot more than we saw at that age. That doesn't always mean that it's right. Now, turning the clock back, if my boys would have been 10 years old and 8 years old, you know, maybe there's a little different deal there. But, you know, in the end, hey, you know, this is one of the things I think, too, and I don't know where people got wrong on this, but when I saw some Twitter reactions, when I was sitting up in the press box for the football game Saturday, I was going over some of the comments and what people were saying, and people act like this is going to affect something with the NCAA. I mean, I even saw some of the national writers hint toward that, and I'm sitting here thinking, are you guys kidding me? This was a late night skit. This had nothing to do with what is going on with the letter of allegations and what Kansas has going. So, you know, that was one of the things that I thought really kind of got taken and just everybody ran with it, and they're way off base. And I mean, some of the,
absolutely.
You know, hey, listen, guys, I always joke, Randy, we always talk about this in fall camp because everybody wants to know in football, hey, what's going on? And you always want to speculate and guess and start getting out there with your imagination. And the fans do too. Well, we always joke, hey, we just need the season to kick off, right? That way we can see yes. football and you move on. Well, this is what I say about reading some of the national columns and things that I did. It's just time for basketball to start. And then once it starts, you can start focusing on basketball and forget about all this other stuff.
I think that's a great point. And one thing that I would like to add, having been, and I know a lot of the criticism, and this is the culture that we live in. I mean, this is Twitter culture. This is the culture of outrage and the social media channel and, you know, the 24-hour news cycle. Most of the outrage is coming from people that were not just not in the building, but not anywhere near the building.
Bingo.
For those of us that were there, when they announced, you know, this was announced a week ahead of time that Snoop was the performer. When the basketball portion of the event ended, there was at least 20 minutes of lull why they set up the DJ stand, why they set up the turntables, the whole area. There was plenty of time, and people knew what was coming. They even yep. said Snoop Dogg, you know, Coach Self came out and kind of introduced it and talked about it. There was plenty of time that for people with young, impressionable children, or that maybe didn't want to be around that kind of thing themselves, they could have easily excused themselves from the building and made their way to their cars. Nobody forced them to stay, and that was part of the reason I believe that it was put at the end of the evening. That's just my opinion, though. Now, I want to go kind of a different direction with this. Shay, tell us a little bit, what reaction have you heard from the recruits that were there, or even some of the ones that weren't, that have seen this on social media?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I've reached out to a handful of guys, and everything's been positive. You know, I'll start with Grady Dick, the 2022 kid from Collegiate High School in Wichita, Kansas, had a great time. Said Snoop Dogg was absolutely entertaining. You know, he said the highlight was being able to walk. This is his second trip here since the school year started. I think he was at the first or second home game. You know, he said the highlight was, you know, seeing the weight room for the first time, being able to kind of see all the advancements that they work with. And no, listen, he had a great time. Everything about late night for him was great. Same with Kendall Brown. I'm going to try to remember the word he used here. Kendall Brown is the number 18th ranked player in the 2021 class, originally from Minnesota, transferred to Sunrise Christian Academy in Bel Air. The word he used to describe Snoop was lit. He said Snoop was lit and everything was great. The fans, the atmosphere, everything was amazing. Same with Davion Bradford. Snoop was amazing. Had a great time. The atmosphere was great. I mean, everybody I've talked to said that the atmosphere was amazing. That Snoop was amazing. They had a great time. Great entertainment. You know, nobody was offended. I got a call today or a text today from Bryce Thompson's dad. They were still in town. At practice, you know, a lot of guys are making their way back, but for some of the unofficial visitors that I've talked to, everybody had a great time, man. Everybody, it was an experience, I think, that a lot of us would have never got to experience had it not been for late night. So everything I've heard, all the, you know, all the reports have been glowing so far. I mean, all the kids had a great time. They felt right at home. The thing that I always hear when prospects talk about visiting Kansas, they talk about the family atmosphere. They talk about feeling as one. You know, they talk about how they feel right at home. You know, it's just a family feeling, and so all the reaction so far has been great. I'm looking forward to hearing to. I know tomorrow Isaiah Todd, the number 10 ranked player in the class, is going to come out with his top two. You know, I don't know where that's going to lead. But I'm looking forward to talking to some of the other official visitors. You know, kind of getting a firsthand report of how they felt. But you know, so far everything's been thumbs up with you know, Snoop and everything around that.
So one last time, Shay, any negative response whatsoever from recruits or their families?
No, none at all, man. Not that I've heard of. Everybody, again, I mean, the word that was used twice was lit. I mean, these kids, whether it be Little Yachty, who was the guy before then, or who's the guy that came to football? I can't remember his name. Yeah, Rick Ross or E-40 or Tech N9ne. Or, I mean, they all know or heard of them. I mean, I remember growing up listening to Sugar Hill Gang, and that was 13 years before my time. So, I mean, they all had a good time. No complaints that I've heard of. Everybody loved the performance and had a good time. One kid talked about the money gun and how kind of cool that was. They were shooting Monopoly-like money out. And, I mean, it's – listen, you guys, it did probably – looking back at it, it probably didn't go exactly the way everybody wanted it to, but it was a harmless event. It was an opportunity for Snoop to come out and do what he does, and that's exactly what he did. I mean, looking back on it now, he probably could have gotten a little crazier.
That in mind, I want to ask one question. I've thought about this a little bit. Is maybe the issue here because every rapper out now, every guy that has come and performed at Late Night in the Fog at the last few years that has been at Kentucky, been at North Carolina, any of the schools that do that kind of thing, they are talking about the exact same things. Could the difference here be that because it's music that these kids parents grew up with, that we all know the words to it, that because we know what they're talking about, as opposed to the guys now that kids are listening to that we have no clue about, could that be what it is? Is it just, I know what he's talking about, and those kids shouldn't be hearing that? Is that what it is?
No, I don't think
it's a familiarity.
Guys, hey, let me jump in. I'm not the basketball expert, but I can jump in and give you my take from where I sit. I think it's okay. All because of the NCAA allegations. Personally, that's me. I mean, you know, people kept referring to the money gun, which is, you know, Snoop money, and people kept referring to the Snoop
Dogg. I thought that was hilarious, personally.
You know, the character walking around with whatever he had, you know.
Yeah. And,
you know, it was a flashlight, John.
It was a cigar.
Yeah.
It was a cigar, you know. So I think that's what the big thing is people want to keep tying this performance from Snoop Dogg back to the allegations. That's all that is, pretty plain and simple.
Here's the thing, too, that I loved. Didn't love, but found it funny. One of the national guys said Bill Self walked into the hospital thinking he was going to have a heart attack and walked back out going to get 50 cheeseburgers and smoking a carton of cigarettes. Like he's playing with fire or something. This has nothing to do with anything about – I mean, this has nothing to do with – it's amazing to me how worked up these guys get, how offended these guys get. Like the audacity that Bill Self could somehow have Snoop Dogg when all this NCAA stuff was going on, when it has absolutely nothing to do with anything that's going on with the NCAA. Nothing at all.
What I think's crazy about this, and you know, I'm looking at my phone right now just to see. I put out a video clip, Shay, while you and I were sitting there. It has now been viewed 1.8 million plus times.
Yeah.
It's gotten over 22,000 likes and nearly 4,000 retweets, and that's just on Twitter.
Yeah.
And it's – my wife has said to me several times this weekend, can you please stop looking at your phone? You're addicted to your phone. And I've said, it's buzzing so much I have to keep checking to see if there's something going on that I should know about. It's nuts. And to watch the way this thing has gone, you know, hey – we heard Self say it Friday night. They say that even bad publicity is good publicity.
Yep.
And right now, the amount of buzz that this program has is like nothing I've ever seen before. So,
yeah.
Well, Shay, with that.
I went to the Guns N' Roses concert like in 93, and I can remember seeing more skin there than I saw Friday night, and I survived. So, I think everybody else is going to survive, and hopefully a week from now we'll be looking back at this and laughing, and because it really all it was a concert, and it has nothing to do with anything else that's going on outside of the University of Athletic Department. So it's, you know, it was a good Friday night, and I had a good time with you, Randy.
Exactly. You know what? That's the final word right there, Shay. Thanks a lot, man. I will. We'll see you at Media Day on Wednesday.
Can't wait, man. More basketball.
Yes, sir. All right, now let's shift over. John, you thought you were going to have a calm weekend, didn't you?
Well, I did. I thought I was going to be able to relax a little bit Sunday. I've been reaching out to a few football recruits. You know, with the bye week coming up, I wanted to have a little bit of content. We haven't hit on recruiting a lot because there hasn't been a lot of news. So I was going to circle back around and just kind of, you know, enjoy the Sunday, and then boom, Les Miles decides he is going to make his announcement of a new offensive coordinator, but you know, Randy, it's our business. We never know when news is going to happen. I remember when Ben Easters, the quarterback, committed. I kind of got word it was coming down So I was backing out of the driveway to go to dinner with my wife, and I looked at her and I said, "You got to pull back in the driveway. I've got to go in, and we're going to have to cover Ben Easter's." You know, she's looking at me just like, really? Come on. But hey, that's our business, and that's the way it goes. So hey, you just have to adjust and roll with it, and get ready to report what you can.
So Kirby, you know, give me your take on this. Les Miles has relieved Les Koenig of his duties as the offensive coordinator and has installed Brent Dierman as the new OC of this program. What's your take on the situation?
Well, the first thing I thought was for anybody who doesn't think that Les Miles is serious or is has his thumb on this program and isn't thinking about what he can do to make it better, I think this would show anybody right there that Les Miles is at Kansas to win football games, okay? This isn't something that Les Miles has made a habit of in his career, okay? He's not known as a guy that just does this type of thing in the middle of the season. He's not known as a guy to just fly off the handle. I mean, these are things he thinks about, and I think this just shows everybody right here that he is trying to win at the University of Kansas, and I think it's something that's been on his mind. He just didn't decide this today. He didn't just decide this on Saturday. This is something that he's obviously been thinking about. And you know what else it tells me? It tells me there is support from Jeff Long. Because if Jeff Long doesn't support this and support Miles, especially just being there for him and knowing him as an athletic director and telling him, hey, we got your back, coach, and financially, because this is going to cost Kansas a little bit of money. So I think that shows right there, Jeff Long, this is his hire, and he's backing it and going to do whatever he can. You know, hey, listen, Dierman's a smart football coach. I have talked to a lot of coaches out there who are familiar with him or have followed his work. I've talked to some guys who've sat down with him and gone over things with him at coaches' clinics, and he is a sharp young coach. So, you know, he's going to get his chance to show what he can do in a conference, the Big 12, that's known for some really smart offensive football coaches and football minds. So I think he's going to do well, and it's going to be interesting just to see what he can do early on.
Kirby, I said on Twitter that Coach Dierman is an innovator, and he's one of the most respected young coaches in college football. Tell us more. I mean, what else do you know about him? And maybe more than that, what changes can he make to this offense in a short amount of time with the bye week in place and a little bit of a break before the Jayhawks hit the field again?
Well, after Boston College, that was the best offensive performance they've had this year. And I remember talking to Carter Stanley, and he talked about Dierman and just said, you know, he's helped him a lot. You know, remember this. He's been limited in what he can do to this point, okay? He's an analyst. He's a consultant. I can't remember his exact title, what they call him. But he can't wear a headset, okay? He can't be in the coach's booth. There's a lot of things he can't do. And obviously with the NCAA the allegations and things that are going on there, you've got to be super careful, because I know at every school in America, the analysts and people, they're helping out. They're probably doing a little more than they should. It's all over the country. It's just not happening at one school or a couple. It's everywhere. But I think with the eyes on Kansas, I think you got to be super careful in what you're doing. So, you know, now he's going to have a chance to have a role and do what he wants to do. And something that's been talked about, Randy, you and I have talked about it. It's been talked about on our message board, just the fans, is kind of the hot and cold of the offensive scheme this year. I mean, you've seen a lot of eye formation. You've seen some tight stuff. Then you've all of a sudden you've seen a hurry up offense, and you've seen four wide, and it's just been, you know, ups and downs. And it's kind of been like, what is the identity? What is Kansas trying to do offensively? You can go to all the good teams and they might change some things, but they still have an identity, and you know what they're trying to do. And I think to this point, we've kind of been going back and forth. What is Kansas? Well, with Dierman in there, I think you're now going to see something. I think you're going to see some consistency. Obviously, you're going to see a lot of RPO, because that's what he does. And for people who don't know, that's what RPO means, run pass option. Okay.
Yes.
And a lot of times it's confused with the zone read or the read option, because the run pass option usually is either a handoff or a pass, where a zone read is either a handoff or a quarterback run. The difference is in the RPO, the quarterback is usually reading a linebacker, where you can see where pass coverage, there's going to be a vacated spot, and you know whether to keep it or pass it. And a zone read, you're reading the defensive end. You're trying to see if they come crashing down. If they do, you keep it, and then you go around them. So, you know, Dearman knows how to teach this. He's very well-versed. And Carter Stanley has had some experience with RPOs in the past. So I think it'll be a good changeover. I think it comes, you know, at a good time. And one thing I will say, Kansas fans have to be patient, okay? Brent Dearman isn't going to come in and sprinkle some magic dust all over everything, and all of a sudden they start putting up 550 yards and 45 points a game or anything like that. He's going to have to come in. He's going to have to get his system installed, and the guys are going to have to adjust to what he's going to show them.
Exactly. Exactly. John, you wrote a column right after the release basically was hitting everybody's email box from KU Athletics and talked about the timing of this decision and the move by Les Miles.
Yeah,
tell us, you know, give people kind of a look at what you said there.
Yeah, Randy, I just said this is, it comes at a great time, okay? I mean, well, I don't know if it's a great time. It comes at a good time. So it gives Dearman the ability on a bye week. Right now, as we're doing this podcast, my guess is he's got the offensive staff. He's got them assembled. You know, usually Sunday is a day that the players aren't around the facility, okay? So they're probably sitting there, and they're getting a game plan in. He's telling everybody what he wants to do. This is my vision. This is what I want to see change. And this comes at a bye week, which is a good time. So they'll get the guys tomorrow. I think they'll probably practice on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I don't know if they'll practice on Thursday or not. I know the coaches are going to go out and hit the road recruiting. It will also be interesting to see if Dearman goes out and recruits as well, which I'm sure he will be out on the road. He's now going to be the quarterback's coach as well, too. So he'll have three practices here that are kind of free practices on the house to get some things installed so he's not doing this on the fly. I mean, if they were going to play Texas this Saturday night, that really changes things a little bit just in preparation for that game, because you've got to worry about game planning. This gives him an ability to put some of his steps in, work on the RPO, let the guys get familiar with what he's going to ask, and then next week they'll turn their attention to Texas and kind of figure out what they're going to do scheme-wise for that.
That's John Kirby from Jayhawk Slant, the most maybe well-versed and in-the-know man on the Kansas football beat. Been covering the Jayhawks for years. That wraps up a special edition of the Inside Slant podcast from jayhawkslant.com on what has been a super eventful weekend that, as John and I have alluded to several times, was supposed to be a quiet one with the Jayhawks heading into the bye week. Special thanks to Shea Wildebor for joining us to talk about late night. You heard from John Kirby. Thanks to John, as always. I'm your host, Randy Withers. We will talk with you again soon.